Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, the Gospel of Matthew from chapter 27, and then from Luke, chapter 22. Hear the wonderful words of Jesus. Matthew, chapter 26, verse 14 to 16. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 5. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And he said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22, just sharing about Peter's life. Luke chapter 22, verse 60 to 60. This is the third time and Peter had denied. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows," or in some version it says the rooster crows today, "you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. It's always a privilege to share the living word of God. And I've been praying a lot for this message. The Lord will speak to me and that the Lord will speak to you this morning. We are in a season of Lent. We begin with Ash Wednesday on Wednesday here, and we had lots of people here. And this period of Lent is a season when we take the time to seriously focus our attention on Jesus. It is that time a lot of people often fast. They give up food or they give up candies or they give up coffee. But the main reason of this 40 days of this season is for us to draw closer and to focus on Jesus Christ. But today I will be sharing with you, as we begin a new series, on the characters that surrounded the crucifixion story. And we'll be talking about Judas and Peter today, and Pastor Greg will be here next Sunday, and he'll be sharing about another character close to the crucifixion of Jesus. The main message today is come to Jesus. You know, oftentimes when we say come to Jesus, we always say, "Oh, we are having a come to Jesus moment." This is a good moment I want to share with you as I begin. We've heard it on the vibraphone. We are hearing on the message, and our closing song is also "Come to Jesus." So hope we will all get the message that the Lord has for us this morning. But let's begin with prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly to the throne of grace, Lord. Thank you, God, for that you have given us another day. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us and for us. And Lord, I pray now that you will hide me behind that cross. God, it is always a holy moment when we are in your presence. It is always a life-changing moment when we hear the words of Jesus. So God, I pray that it will not be my words, but your words speaking through me. So come, Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome in this time. You are welcome as we hear. Open our ears, O Lord. Open our hearts, O Lord. Open our eyes, O Lord. Open our thoughts, O Lord, to receive what you have for us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that are here in this sanctuary this morning. We love you. We praise you. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. As I shared with you, this is a season of Lent, a time when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was preparing my message this week, the Lord gave me a few thoughts that I want to share with you before I begin getting into the message. The four thoughts, a couple of them are questions, a couple of them are important thoughts that we should consider during this season of focusing on God. The first thought is this. We must pause and reflect on the spiritual conditions of our hearts. We must pause this morning and reflect on the spiritual conditions of our hearts. Is our heart cold? Is our heart warm? Is our heart soft? Is our heart sensitive to the voice of God? Not only that, we must pause and examine our relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. How is my relationship with Jesus Christ this morning and every day? It is a very important question that we must ask during this season of coming closer to the Lord. Moreover, as I was preparing this message, this thought came to me as a question actually, are we truly taking the time to earnestly repent of every sin, every idol, every distraction that is hindering our walk with Jesus this morning? Friends, these are very important things that the Lord showed me and I wanted to share with you. And this is the most important thing. Are we thirsting and hungry for more and more of God's presence in our lives? Few thoughts to consider. As I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit gave me these thoughts and questions to share with you as we dive into a new sermon series starting today on the characters surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Today we will look at the life of Judas Iscariot and Peter. Judas Iscariot and Peter. And I tell you, friends, it was really an eye-opening for me studying about the life of Judas and the life of Peter. It is amazing the things that the Lord showed to me, and I want to share with you this morning. Judas Iscariot is the disciple of Jesus who betrayed Jesus for the 30 silver coins to the chief priest and the elders. Peter is the disciple who boldly proclaimed that he was willing to die for Christ, but denied Jesus 3 times after his arrest. As I began to study about Judas and Peter, I found this very interesting. It is interesting to note that both Judas Iscariot and Peter were both chosen by Jesus to be his disciple and were answered to his prayer. Here is the one that betrayed Jesus and here is the one that denied Jesus. But when we read the stories of the Bible, we find that they both were chosen by Jesus to be his disciple and an answer to his prayers. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, it says this. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Jesus spent all night in prayer before he chose Judas and Peter and the rest of the disciples. Not only were Judas and Peter chosen an answer to prayer to Jesus, but they were also appointed by Jesus to preach the good news of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 1-2, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It is interesting that the one that betrayed Jesus, the one that denied Jesus, were the 12 disciples that the Lord had chosen, the 12 disciples that the Lord had sent out to preach the good news. But not only that, that they were chosen, that they were sent, both Judas and Peter had witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They had witnessed the miracles of Jesus for 3 years of public ministry of Jesus. Peter and Judas were right there in all that Jesus was doing. Peter and Judas were there when Jesus turned the water into wine. The story is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Peter and Judas saw how Jesus turned the water into wine. They were both present when Jesus fed the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They were present how Jesus blessed 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he fed 5,000 people. And you know the story. There were about 12 baskets full of food that were left. Peter and Judas saw that. Not only that, Peter and Judas were there when Jesus calmed the storm at the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus said, "Storm, be quiet, be still," they were witness to the power of Jesus. Pastor Greg messaged me this morning, and he said that he preached his message at the Sea of Galilee. He was preaching a message a little different than what I am, but he said that there is a story in the Bible when Peter began to walk on the water, and then he got distracted by the wind and the sound, and he began to sing. And he was saying that while he was preaching about this, suddenly there was a strong wind that came. So people shook up. They kind of believed what he was preaching. So this happened this morning at the Sea of Galilee. So I wanted to share that with you. Both Peter and Judas were with Jesus in the last moments of his life when Jesus knelt down and he washed their feet. They experienced the humility and the kindness of Jesus as Jesus washed their feet. How is it possible that even though they walked so close to Jesus, shared so many precious moments with Jesus in prayer, and yet be willing to betray and deny Jesus? How is it possible someone that walked so close to Jesus would betray and deny Jesus? As I was reflecting on the sins of Judas and Peter, I thought about how many times have we betrayed Jesus? How many times have we betrayed Jesus by not fulfilling our vows and our commitment to Jesus Christ? How many times have we said something, "Jesus, we are going to do this for you," and we actually never do that? How many times have we denied Jesus by putting our goals, our agendas, our priorities, and our desires above our devotion to Jesus Christ? Think about that, my friends. How many times have we, just like Peter and Judas, betrayed Jesus because of our lack of commitment, or denied Jesus because something was more important to us in our life than being with Jesus? I'm sure in our life journey, we all have experienced betrayal and denial by someone so close to us. Someone that we have trusted and called our friends, but have hurt us by their actions. It is painful, isn't it, when we feel betrayed by someone that we love and trust? Jesus surely must have felt the same at the betrayal and denial of Judas and Peter, whom he loved so much. So what lessons can we learn from the lives of Judas Iscariot and Peter? What lesson can we learn from their life? Friends, there are a few thoughts that I want to share from my heart, and they are very important. The first one is this. We must guard our hearts from the sinful desires of our flesh, distractions of this world, and the deceptive schemes of the evil one. We must guard our hearts from the sinful desires of our flesh, distractions of this world, and the deceptive schemes of the evil one. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, 33, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you and I do flows from him. So it does matter what is dwelling in our heart. Because whatever is in our heart is going to come out of our mouth and it's going to become an action. So Jesus is reminding us that we must guard our hearts against all of these things. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says this. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour or destroy. For Judas, the sin of greed got a hold of his heart and life. We see that in the text that I read this morning. In Matthew chapter 26, 14 to 15, it says that one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked this question, what are you willing to give me if I am going to deliver him over to you? They counted for him 30 pieces of silver. This is what Judas, the greed, got a hold of his life. He says, what are you willing to give me, chief priest and elder, that I can bring Jesus to a place where you can arrest him? Matthew chapter 6 verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And therefore, my friends, it is so crucial, so important that we guard our hearts and make sure there is nothing dwelling in that heart that will lead us astray from the ways of the Lord. We must guard our hearts. Secondly, friends, we must learn to daily surrender our self-life to Jesus. We must learn to daily surrender our self-life to Jesus. Now, what does that mean? I want to show you from Peter's life why this is so important. Although Peter was a follower of Jesus, a loyal follower of Jesus, but internally in his heart, in his spiritual heart, he had not fully surrendered all of himself to Jesus. He was a loyal follower of Jesus, but internally in his life, he had not fully surrendered all of his heart, all of himself to Jesus Christ. And we see that in his story of denial. Three times, Jesus has been arrested. Three times in that courtyard, when Peter goes, follows Jesus, but Jesus has been arrested, he's brought before the chief priest, and Peter follows Jesus from at this time. There are three times that this Peter, who had followed Jesus all his life, he denies him three times. This is how he denied him. First time when someone came to him, do you know him? He said, I do not know him. Second time, someone came and said, are you one of the disciples? And he said, I am not. The third time someone came and asked him, are you one of the disciples? He said, I do not know what you are talking about. Luke chapter 22, verse 57 to 60 describes this denial. Three times he said, I do not know. I have no allegiance. I don't know this man. Peter was so close to Jesus, yet did not understand what it meant to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, what powerful words. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves. It is then the same word that Peter did. He denied Jesus. He said, if you want to be my follower, Jesus said, you must deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. To take up the cross means that you and I are willing to die for Jesus. To take up the cross means that you and I are willing to sacrifice, to suffer for Jesus, to do whatever it takes so that Jesus' life, Jesus' name, his mission is fulfilled through our life. In that time of the Roman time, the punishment of crucifixion was one of the worst punishment anyone could receive. And so when Jesus is saying, you want to follow me, be willing to die for me. Be willing to sacrifice your life for me. Friends, when Jesus calls us to follow him, it is not a comfortable Christianity. It is a call to die to yourself. Paul puts it this way, the Apostle Paul, the man of God. I love this scripture in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. He says this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me, and he gave himself for me. Peter was still holding on to something. Said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but there are some things that I want to hold on to. I enjoy it. I want to keep it. I want to keep doing it. Jesus said, you want to follow me? You gotta give your whole heart to me. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, we see a wonderful example of a surrendered life of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we see Jesus praying. He is pleading. And in that prayer, we see a wonderful example of what it means to deny ourselves. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying to his Father. And he says, Father, take this cup from me. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. That's a wonderful example of surrender to Jesus. Now, friends, please hear me as I share these important thoughts about what it means to deny self. What does it mean to deny self? To deny self means to move from self-reliance to Christ-reliance. Completely. I'm not relying on myself, but I'm relying on Jesus Christ for everything. From self to Christ. To deny self means to move from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. I want to center my life about Jesus. For my self-centeredness, what I want to do, what I want to enjoy, to move to a place where I say, Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? I want you to be the center of everything. To deny self means to move from self-sufficiency to all sufficiency in Christ Jesus to meet all our need. So I'm moving from my self-sufficiency. I'm moving to Jesus Christ, who is able to supply, who is able to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. That is what it means to surrender our life. It means to move from self-confidence to complete trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. Peter was following Jesus, but there was still a little bit of self-sufficiency, self-control, self-confidence, self-reliance. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Make me everything of your life. Andrew Murray, The great South African pastor, friends, he's written a lot about prayer. If you get a chance to read one of his books, he's written about the prayer and the Holy Spirit. 18th century pastor. I was reading about his thoughts on Peter and Judas, and this is what I found in one of his articles. He said, "Oh, beloved, we want to realize that it is just because there is so much of the self-life in us that the power of God cannot work in us as mightily as God is willing that it should work." There is so much of self in us that the power of God cannot work because we are not open completely for God to fill our lives. In other words, if we want to experience the fullness and the power of God in our lives, we must be emptied of our self-centeredness, self-reliance, self-confidence, self-sufficiency, and acknowledge our desperate need for God. Acknowledge our desperate need for more and more of God's presence in our lives. That is the secret when we come and say, "Jesus, I desperately need you to come in my life." Oswald Chambers, the great Scottish preacher, said this. He said, "Our motive for surrender should not be for any personal gain at all. We have become so self-centered that we go to God only for something from Him and not for God Himself." I come to my last point. We must learn from the lives of Judas and Peter the difference between worldly sorrow that leads to hopelessness and godly sorrow that leads to an inward change of heart and life. Inward change of heart and life. Friends, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret." Godly sorrow brings about the change in our life. But the worldly sorrow brings death. As I begin to study on this scripture, the Greek word for repentance that is used in this scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10, is the Greek word metanoia. And the Greek word metanoia basically means a change of mind. It means a change of mind about our sinful behavior. It means a change of mind about who Jesus Christ is. It means a change of direction. It means turning from sin to God. That's what godly sorrow does. It makes a change in our life. It changes us completely to follow the ways of God. Let's look at Judas's repentance. Judas' repentance and confession was towards himself and the chief priests and the elders and not towards Jesus, which led to his despair, emptiness, and hopelessness. Judas' repentance and confession was towards himself and the chief priests and elders and not towards Jesus, which led to his despair, emptiness, and hopelessness. Friends, look at that in the scripture. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 5, it says this. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elder. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, the chief priest said, "What is that to us? See to yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and he hanged himself. Judas Iscariot was remorseful and he was regretful of his action of betraying Jesus. But it was not a true repentance which leads to a change of mind and life. I found that the Greek word used in Judas's repentance is a different word that is used in godly sorrow. The Greek word used for Judas's repentance is metamelomai, which means regret and remorseful. Yes, Judas was regretful for what he did. He was remorseful for what he did. But friends, when we look at the end of the story, we see that he lost all hope in himself. He went to the chief priests of that time that just should have offered him hope, but they didn't offer him any hope. So he was left to himself. Judas' regret in himself and the hopeless response of the chief priest led him to despair and death. However, Peter's response, it's amazing how Peter responds. Peter's repentance was towards Jesus, leading to a transformed life and revival. In Luke chapter 22, verse 61 to 62, it says, this is the third time Peter has denied in John, in this story. Third time Peter is denied. And when he denies the third time, the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, 61 to 62, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. The moment he said, Jesus, I deny you, that moment Jesus was still close at a distance. Jesus looked at Peter. And friends, when Jesus looked at Peter, that was a turning point in his life. Peter's godly sorrow led to a broken heart in need of mercy and forgiveness of Jesus. He truly repented and said, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy in my life. Friends, Peter's godly sorrow was a major turning point in his life. You know what happened to his life? The same Peter who once denied Jesus three times was transformed from the inside out to preach one of the most powerful and bold messages that has been spoken in the history of the Christian church on the day of Pentecost that led to a revival movement of 3,000 souls being saved. Here we see Peter, who once denied Jesus, has an encounter with Jesus at the very last time he denied Jesus. He weeps and he mourns and he's troubled in his heart for what he has done against Jesus. But Jesus transforms his life because he came for forgiveness. Friends, the scripture says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number and day. So the lesson of the story is this, friend, that Jesus is able to transform our lives from fear to boldness, from denial to be used by God in a mighty way. Philip Yancey, a great author, if you get a chance to read his book, he's written a lot about suffering. He's written this book called Disappointment with God and Where is God When It Hurts. And he writes this in comparison to Judas and Peter. He writes this. Please listen to this. It's powerful. Judas, remorseful but apparently unrepentant, accepted the logical consequences of his deed. He took his own life and went down as the greatest traitor in the history. He died unwillingly to receive what Jesus had to offer him. Peter, humiliated but still open to Jesus' message of grace and forgiveness, went on to lead a revival in Jerusalem and did not stop until he had reached Rome. Two different responses, two different lives of Judas and Peter. Friends, this brings me to my very last point. And that is to come to Jesus this morning. Today, friends, I'm not sure where you are in your Christian journey of life. What struggles, pains, difficulty you are facing. You are invited to come to Jesus. I want to ask this question. Are you carrying guilt and shame in your life this morning? Do not carry it anymore. Come to Jesus this morning. Repent of your sins and receive forgiveness of Jesus. Are you struggling with pain of betrayal in your life? Friends, Jesus understands exactly what it means to be betrayed and denied. Come to Jesus this morning. Let Him bring healing to your broken heart. Are you overwhelmed with burdens that you cannot bear? Come to Jesus. He can help you and take your burdens away. Are you anxious about anything? Is there something troubling your heart this morning? You can come to Jesus. And this is the most important point in my sermon. There is hope for you. There is hope in Jesus Christ. No matter the circumstance, no matter the problem, no matter the struggle, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Friends, as I was preparing this message, God began to show me many people in our church that came to us in brokenness, broken marriage, struggling with addictions, almost falling apart marriages. And all I could tell them was, come to Jesus. And then God began to show me how He had transformed their lives, how He had changed their lives. God uses our failures, our disappointments, and He still calls us. We are like Judas and Peter, so many times betray Jesus. Jesus is one of, we say we follow Jesus, but truly, are we really following Jesus? Truly, are we putting Him everything? Jesus, for You, everything. Today He's inviting you this morning, friends. Today He's inviting us. And the scripture says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Here's what Jesus is saying to us. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Whatever you need, come to Jesus, and He will give you what you need. Amen. Judas went to the chief priests and the elders. They said, what is that to us? He didn't find any hope in the leaders of that time. But there is always hope in Jesus. And that's why we preach His name. That's why every Sunday we preach about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. And that's why we exist as a church. Because we still believe that Jesus has a power to change a broken heart, a broken life. Any trouble we face, He's able to meet. He was rejected. He was crucified. He faced every emotion that we face in this life. And He relates with you. My only challenge this morning is Sarah is going to come and sing, Come to Jesus. And if you need prayer today, we invite you to come. And we have people here that will pray with you. But if you want to sit on your seat, that is totally fine. You can pray to Jesus there. But if you need prayer, please come. I'm going to say a prayer, and then Sarah's going to sing. And as she sings, if you want to come for prayer, we will come and pray with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your love. Lord, as we look at our own lives today, when we look at our own lives, we see there is nothing good in us. If it wasn't for you, Jesus, if it wasn't for you, we would not be here in this church this morning. Thank you for picking us up. Thank you for giving us another chance. Thank you for changing our lives. Help us now, Lord, to not be like Judas and Peter, but to learn from their lives and to surrender our life completely to you, Jesus, this morning. Thank you, Lord. Speak to all of us. We need you. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.